Welcome, everybody, to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Allen Gaming, and I'm joined by the gallivanting man, Jordan. How are you?
That is me. I'm good, thank you, Daniel. How are you, mate?
And he's sort of a birthday boy as well.
All sort of, yeah.
From a couple of days ago. How was your birthday?
Yeah. It was really good. I saw Harry Potter. Got tickets to go see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. It was fantastic.
Was it too long? This is a theatre play, by the way, guys. This is a theatre show. Yeah.
It is very long. There are parts of it where I'm like, do we really need this? But like, I still enjoyed it. But if I was looking at trimming the fat, and this is already trimmed down from a 4.5 hour thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably could have been trimmed down even more, but I still enjoyed it. I didn't realize it was going to be so meaty and entrenched in... It sounds silly because it's a Harry Potter thing. I didn't realize it was going to have such weighty consequences. I think is what I'm trying to say.
Is Harry Potter in it?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And he sings and everything?
No, there's not a musical.
Oh, there's no singing. Okay.
No, there's no singing. So there's music when like they do stage transitions and like people will sort of dance on and put things down for the next scene. But there's no singing or anything, no.
It's really good though. Funny you mentioned that because I'm about to start watching the Harry Potters in the lead up to a game coming out February next year. It's called
Hogwarts Legacy,
which I still believe it will be as big as Elden Ring if it's good. So that's just
prediction. Yeah, maybe hype wise, it might be as big as Elden Ring. Yeah, it might be. But yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see the little showcase that they put together.
Neither. I've been super busy, so I'm sort of out of the loop with all the news at the moment.
Yeah, Vikarth that joins us as well. Vikarth, how are you, mate?
Doing well.
It is
good to be back.
It's good to be back, Vic. And he has not been working. He's just been playing games all day. So tell us all the games you've played.
He's been playing Metal Gear Rising.
I have.
Stranding. Finish yet?
Christmas break, mate. Christmas break.
Okay. Okay.
Well, it's been a hot minute since I've been on the pod. I think it's been like a month, maybe three weeks. I think it's been a month. So maybe I'll give an update.
At least three listeners that have missed you. At least three.
At least three. And two of them are you guys. So what have I played? I played Overwatch 2. And then I've dabbled in a bit of Call of Duty, Warzone, multiplayer campaign. And then the main one I'm trundling through now is the God of War campaign, which I'm probably about 8 or so hours in. So, yeah, not much. Obviously, a lot of life updates, but not much in the gaming sphere, I guess.
Yeah, because you've also moved into your new place.
I have, which is why you might hear a few clickety and clackety because I'm trying to get this set up going all right. But yeah, moved in.
Where's the All-Stars poster behind you?
It's coming. I've actually, in the main setup of my gaming setup, it's actually going to be downstairs couch. I've got the LG CX TV. Glorious 4K.
Oh, what a flex, man. Come on.
Mate. Not only 4K resolution, but bloody 4K in price as well. But it's really good, and I'm really enjoying playing it. Got the Turtle Beach headsets, with that 3D sound. And what I'm planning to do is actually get a couple of those floating shelves on top and put all my pre-order statues, the Batman, I've got Scorpion, I've got the God of War Ragnarok, Mjolnir, I've got Metal Gear Solid 5. So, yeah, put them on display, which would be really cool. So I'm trying to make it into a thing. Unfortunately, Dan, I did not get any PS All-Stars goodies because I had no idea how much I'd fall in love with that game when it came out, Dan. So
you do know it's actually canon now, thanks to God of War Ragnarok.
I saw the clip.
It's still alive.
I know. What? They need to make a new one, mate. They just need to make a new one. Just make it. Just make it.
Yeah, that ain't happening. Although Multiverses was good this year. Yeah.
It sort of died though, didn't it? It was super hot for like the first few weeks and now I...
It did die. It died pretty hard, yeah. I didn't see them updating enough with like characters and sort of.
It seems like they liked PlayStation IP.
Fucking hell.
Oh, like it's like it saved All Stars.
All right, mate. So have you been able to talk about Ragnarok, Vark?
No, I haven't. Okay. Have you guys spoken about it?
We have. Jordan's made some progress as well this week. A little bit of progress.
Yeah, how many hours are you in Big Dog?
So I was just telling. I think I'm 15 now. I was telling Dan that just busy week last week. Had reports due and then was out all weekend. So didn't really get a chance to play. Only really got to play for about 3 hours on Saturday, and that was it. So hoping to get more out this week and not be finished with it next time, but maybe be close to finishing it and really get a good session in on Saturday. So I'm still trucking along nicely. Still haven't been spoiled for anything, which I'm happy with. I'm moving along smoothly.
I've heard like that Horizon's writing is much better than God of War. Would you agree with that?
Who the hell said that?
I don't know. I heard it.
No, it's no, definitely not. look, I will say Horizon 1 deserves all the recognition it gets, because I actually think as an open world game, it's actually hard to find a story that's compelling, which is why I think God of War knocked it out of the park. And I've been thinking about this for a few days, like, why is God of War so special? Because it is an open world game, but it has this story and characters that hasn't gripped me like any other open world game. And I'm trying to think of why is that so? And I think maybe it's because it is an open world game, but it's the actual map and the setting and the story is very linear. It drags you along. And like what I was thinking about today was, when I look at Horizon Forbidden West and how it's sort of, you go into that, you know, that there's that intro area, then you go into the real world, the Forbidden West, and it just opens up and there's just thousands of activities and you're just dumped, right? Where you can get really lost, and that can be a good thing. But God of War, it's like, it's kind of controlled. Like what I'm like 8 hours, 6 hours in, 7 hours in, and I've only encountered maybe two or three side quests. And those side quests have been really interesting, really good lore about Mimir and Kratos and Atreus. And I'm like, that is what I want, where it's very story-based, the linear beat-to-beat or cutscene-to-cutscene sort of story is really good. It keeps you wanting more. There's not too much of a drag between cutscenes and story beats, where obviously in Horizon, where the world's so huge, it's, you can get a lot. I think I went 10, 15 hours without doing a story mission, right, in Horizon. And, it's sort of like, okay, with Horizon, if I need to sort of level up or gear up, I have to go across the bloody wildlands, go to the north, go to the south, go here, go there, go all around the world to get these parts. But with God of War, it seems like it's passive, like you're looting, you're getting everything you need as you go. And I know that later in the game when you unlock challenge arenas and stuff, like obviously with God of War, you got Muspelheim, Niflheim, those sort of things, it comes. But I feel like you never have to really, like I never felt in God of War 2018 where I really had to go, oh my gosh, I have to go all the way back here, then craft this and go all the way back here. Like it was... And even the way you get the components, where it's the challenge maps, where it's the battling the mist and there's a Valkyrie there, like that's really, really good. Like in Horizon, it's just I was dreading chasing these machines, and you know, they're just all over the place. And I don't know. So I think there's a lot of, I can't really communicate it clearly because I haven't really fully thought through why God of War is so damn good in its open world. Don't get me wrong, I think GTA nails the other side, right? Where it's that sandbox, it throws you in, but it's got a great story. But yeah, I think Horizon is, its writing and its lore is phenomenal. Forbidden West, I actually think the story was actually not bad. Like it was pretty good. The only thing is, I think it's open world, it really dragged it down. Like there was just, and I'm saying this play when I'm I'll say this. That I played it on the hardest difficulty. So I know that means that everything's infinitely harder. Crafting is more expensive. You get less parts from enemies. But I did feel like, man, that it was just so much like drag in terms of all the activities. There was like hundreds of activities to do in Horizon. And it just, I think
how many
that
of the
took
side
away
characters
from the story.
Can you remember? How many names?
I don't remember any, mate. I remember the two girls who gave me the spear, the sisters. They were kind of cool.
Yeah, and
then
I
the guy with the hot air balloon.
Every character in God of War that you've met.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Because
it's very controlled.
You know,
like
those girls went wrong because they shouldn't have given her a spear. They should have given her a sword.
The and that's the thing,
not
right?
That
like,
again.
Each character in God of War is written into the story, written into the main story, right? Each character in God of War, side character, is written into the main story. There's meaning behind it. There's purpose. They are meant to be there. They are big characters. Where in Horizon, every side character, you don't see them. You don't really see them again. They're just there for that side mission or that group of quests, that side quest. And that's got its place. Like, I think one of the greatest games that nailed it was Far Cry 3. Like, really great open world gameplay and how it nailed that side content. But I think Far Cry 3 had a great story with Vaas and Jason. But yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this conversation, but I just think I think the key to open world design is a good story. Like, that's where I think Ubisoft, Far Cry 3, great story, great characters in Jason and Vaas. And even the other characters are trying to save, but then they became way too activity based in Far Cry. Like, don't get me wrong, Far Cry 6, Giancarlo was great, but it sort of became way more activity based and sandbox based, where it's the story that drives you. Like, yeah, and I don't know. The only game I can really say that actually nailed that activity based gameplay is GTA. Like, that's the like they've done so well, and GTA story is good, but like they can
and Red Dead,
like Rockstar, for sure. They can afford to do that because of how beautifully they design their games. And yeah, I feel like if you want to make it a really activity based open world, you've really got to like explain yourself and have the credibility to do it. But anyway, that's
speaking of Far Cry, they actually got an expansion reveal. For Far Cry 6, there's an expansion coming.
They're huge on their expansion.
Let me guess.
It's called The Lost Between Lost Worlds.
So Vaas is going to be in it. I know it.
It doesn't excite me at all. I've got to say
they're going to tease Vaas.
Yeah, not my thing.
Yeah, I think that game's sort of old news now. It's been over a year.
Well, I'll ask you guys. Do you think there'll be? Do you think Far Cry 7? Will be of the same ilk as Far Cry 5 and Far Cry 6.
Yeah.
Where it's that open world, checkboxy, get a nice movie villain, or you know what I mean? Like, do you think that they've done as much as
No, I think they'll reinvent
could?
It, the wheel. Like they.
I think it's, I think they're going to that Assassin's Creed reinvention now with Far Cry, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. It still sold well, though, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a huge success. Yeah,
The reason that AC sort of changed was because it stopped selling well.
But they've got to be proactive. Like, they've got to probably realize that the trend is starting now. Let's get ahead of it in this dev cycle of 3 years or whatever it is. Rather than in Assassin's Creed, they probably reacted late. And look what happened. They lost a lot of people. I know they're insanely successful. But, yeah, I feel like they could have mitigated that if they sort of innovated a bit earlier.
So what, going back to Ragnarok, what do you guys think about the handholding that they do with the puzzles? Have you noticed this where you'll be in the middle of a puzzle and it sort of tells you exactly what to do? One of the characters.
Like Atreus will tell you?
Or Mimir.
I think that's clever. I'm someone who thinks, I think there's nothing worse than when you're playing a game and you're just sitting there going, I have no idea what to do now. I feel like I've exhausted all options. There was a point where I was doing that and I was like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do here. Maybe I need to come back to this later. Maybe this is an optional part. And then as I was walking around, like Atreus was like, maybe you need to look at it from up there. And I was like, ah, cool. I didn't think of that. And I go up there. Yep, beautiful. There we go.
So you've got no issue with it?
I have no issue. No.
I haven't experienced it. Okay. There was one time where Atreus said, look up, and then I looked up. I'm like, I probably would have seen it eventually, but thanks for pointing it out straight away. But I don't know. Like, if people are finding it too quick, one game that sort of did it well was Tomb Raider, where it had variable difficulty, like combat difficulty, puzzle difficulty. They could have Maybe tweak that where, like, if you had
gets too complicated
puzzle difficulty.
Though. Gets too
complicated. I know it does.
I hate the sliders for all that shit. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, you're right.
If you're finishing the puzzles quick, you won't be hearing the advice from Atreus or Mimir or anyone. Because
what's
the game with the sliders? What is that game with all the sliders for the stealth? Was Tomb Raider.
You can do puzzle difficulty, this difficulty.
Stealth difficulty.
Yeah.
I think combat difficulty. Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah, I don't know whether I'm on the fence with it at the moment. I don't know whether I hate it or love it or whatever.
I wonder whether it doesn't pop up in the higher difficulty levels.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you playing on a higher difficulty, though?
I'm playing not on Give Me God of War, but Give Me...
Are you playing on the third one?
No, it's like the second last. So Give Me God of War, the one under it.
Or is it five? Is it out of five?
I think it's fourth. Yeah, it's out of five, I think. Yeah, I was going to do Give Me God of War. And now playing the game, I've realized, okay, I probably could do Give Me God of War, but I think you have to start the game again. So... I don't know.
You can't go up to Give Me God of War.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm already 7 hours in. Stuff it. So, but I haven't experienced it maybe like Jordan because I've probably done the puzzles on the quicker side. But
What about the menu system, the map?
I will always say that the map in God of War has been lacking. I don't know what it is with their UI.
I don't know why they do it. I don't know. Yeah, I was just thinking about it the other day, the map.
Their UI and UX, I think, is actually not the best. Even with the Leviathan axe and, like, let's say you can choose the different hilts or handles and you can choose the different, obviously, the light runic and heavy runic and things. It's like, I don't know. It's just not, like, it's just not clean and intuitive and it's... Yeah, it's a bit messy in my opinion. The map, I don't even use a map. Like, I just don't use it, which probably is a testament to the level design because it's just a level. You can follow it without looking at a map and getting lost. You know what I mean? Like, it's designed so beautifully. But, yeah, if there's one thing I could probably say about God of War as a franchise, like 2018.
Yeah, you're right. You probably don't even need the map at all.
But the map isn't the best, I will say. I don't know what's going on with UI, guys, because Call of Duty's UI is not good either.
I
don't have too much of a
why is Cod on?
I just don't use it. I just never use it. No, not because I don't think it's because it's not good. I just use my bar at the top and I just navigate that way. I never really have to be like, oh, do I need to... The one thing I have used the map for is to be like, oh, how many collectibles have I got in this point? And being like, oh, I thought I had all of them, but I've only got 33%. Right.
There's a lot of collectibles.
I'll be coming back here later.
There's a lot of collectibles.
Mm. Mm.
But the good thing is they actually give you a bit of lore and backstory and if you want to read that. So.
And they're short, man. They're like short, sharp, and full of juice. Like the one game I think of, which I'll tell you what, I loved the game so much. It was one of my favorite games of that year. But Control, the amount of reading you have to do in that game, it's crazy. But like the lore was super interesting. Like, don't get me wrong, but it's just a lot of reading. So I hate reading in games. Like, I don't know. Like, I did come from an era, and don't get me wrong, my favorite game of all time is 40-minute codec calls. But I don't know, there's something about listening and voice acting as opposed to, like, I could sit and listen to a codec call and the emotion, the music and all that compared to just reading something for 20 minutes in this long-ass multi-page script document. Like, I don't know.
Better when it reads it to you.
Yeah, like, see, Metal Gear Solid 5 did this where your lore bytes would be like cassette tapes and they would play it. So you can actually, while you're doing a mission, you could listen to the cassette tape. But I don't know. I don't think games have nailed the whole lore reading. Like there is a place for that, like RPGs and stuff, but in like main games like Far Cry 6, I don't need to read the freaking lore. I don't need to read these documents and stuff about some bloody guy trying to invade Yara. Like I don't need that, but yeah, I don't know. Each to their own, I suppose.
Have you noticed that, you know, there's a big debate with Elden Ring versus God of War Ragnarok, which was happening before both games were out, mind you. And, you know, I noticed that God of War, you know, is nominated for soundtrack, narrative, game, like everything. But yet people still think that Elden Ring is a shoe-in for Game of the Year, even though, you know, God of War has got the most nominations and is pretty much hitting every category, yet it still won't be Game of the Year. Do you see what I'm saying? Why is it, it's missing, is it missing something? You know, what is, it's obviously, you can have all the components and still not be the best game of the year.
Is this Elden Ring or God of War you're talking about?
God of War has the most nominations. It has nominations in sort of every category. From sound,
I wonder
to
whether
graphics.
It's because God of War is sort of a known quantity, and as much as Elden Ring might follow the same formula of a FromSoft game, it's more of an iteration on that formula that we haven't seen before. With the massive expansive open world.
Yeah,
so I wonder sort if that's why. And it definitely was a moment in time, because so many people tried Elden Ring and it was their first FromSoft game, and a lot of people stuck with it. There was something accessible, as much as it's as hard as it is, there was something that people found accessible with it that they haven't found in other games. And whether that's because there was so much room for you to go, and it didn't have that sense of claustrophobia that other FromSoft games have, and therefore, you know, some of the environmental difficulty wasn't there. Whether that's why, I'm not really sure. And that's why maybe it sticks fonder in people's minds.
Yeah.
That's just my main thing. I think God of War was a known quantity.
Yeah.
Like we knew it was going to be amazing.
Maybe it didn't reinvent itself enough to stand out from the last game.
I think I'm glad it hasn't reinvented itself too much, but in some parts it has, which I think is really good.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it hasn't too much, because there's nothing worse than going from game to game and things feeling way different, especially when this is supposed to be a direct sequel. Like we have a cutscene at the end of the first one that leads us right into this one. I feel like it would feel so weird if the interface was too different, if the combat was way different, if, you know, the sort of setup for the whole game was different. I think I love the way it is now.
Have you guys met Ratatoska?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah? Was he out of place for you, or did he fit
in more? He's the rat that can control the chef. He's the one with the eyeglass, yeah?
That's Ratatouille.
No one got my joke.
Yeah, I did after.
Honestly.
No, it was a little bit out of place. I was like, oh, but then it's all a part of life.
I really loved it, by the way. I loved that character. I thought it was out of place, and then by the end.
It's all a part of the myth.
No, I heard some people saying they thought it was out of place because you got the YouTuber, I forgot his name, but he did the voice. And it's very, you know, American in a North Missile, you know, this setting. But I have no problem with it.
Can I circle back to Elden Ring God of War?
Yeah,
so I will say, if we think about the success of it, it sold about 17.5 million copies, I think. Like, that's that is of November 2022. I think there's a physical report recently that came out. 17.5 million, which is insanely successful, especially for FromSoft. But so obviously that game is just surpassed every wild expectation, because it's just so wildly successful. But I don't know, I feel like there's probably a level of recency bias where God of War is in everyone's minds right now, and there's a hype train. So probably a lot of people are voting for it because Elden Ring seemed like a long time ago, right? Like, it seemed like ages ago we played Elden Ring. So it's out of the conversation. It's out of the minds of everyone. I will also say, I feel like God of War's story and gameplay is more accessible. Obviously, Elden Ring's gameplay, obviously being less accessible, speaks for itself. But even the story, where Elden Ring is a game you consume via lore, not by maybe direct story. So I actually think it's harder for a lot of people to actually, you know, if you're not looking at Vartividia on YouTube and things like that, and you're just playing it purely for the gameplay, you're actually not really following the story. Like, for me, I didn't really follow the story much. I loved that game.
Well, it got nominated for best narrative, funnily enough.
Yeah, and that's great. Like, because I think that deserves it. Like, its lore is phenomenal. For if you actually take the time to read it and get enveloped in it.
But it won't win, will it?
Yeah, if you think of like the standard video game critic, he's playing God of War, much accessible gameplay, much more accessible story compared to Elden Ring, where it's like way less accessible gameplay and the story, you've really got to look at the lore and go beyond that. I think all the critics, half of them probably won't even spend the effort to actually get invested in the lore. So I think that's probably why, even though Elden Ring's probably on the same level as God of War, I just think it's way more accessible to critics. So that God of War is way more accessible, I'd say. So
depends what it always comes back to. What does game of the year actually mean? Does it mean the best game of the year, or is it like this game is like, this was the game that took the attention of the year? When we look back, will people go, oh, that was the year Elden Ring, like that was Elden Ring year, or was that the Ragnarok year? So that's the other thing you have to think of as well. So yeah. I still think Elden Ring will win it. If you look back when look at
Sekiro.
Shadows Die Twice. Sekiro, yeah. That one game of the year. And like, I haven't played it, so I can't speak too much, but if a game of that caliber, which was still received extremely well, won it, I still really think Elden Ring will win it. I'm only 15 hours into God of War. I can already tell it's going to be my game of the year. Like I'm enjoying it way more than I enjoyed Elden Ring. And not that I didn't enjoy Elden Ring, because I loved it and I was obsessed with it. I was addicted to it. I thought about it when I wasn't there and all that sort of stuff. That would be my thought. But we can talk about that more when we get to our Game Awards predictions at the end.
How bloody good was Elden Ring, man?
It was good.
Mike only finished it the other day.
100 hours in, mate.
I enjoyed the last quarter.
Yeah, look, I probably dragged a bit at the end, but I don't know.
From that fire giant fight, I was like, I'm a bit over this now.
Oh, fair enough. I was like really enthralled up until probably the final boss fight, but... yeah, I don't know.
God of War is the fastest selling first party launch game in PlayStation history. 5.1 million copies were sold through its debut week. So there's definitely going to be more God of War games. That would be a safe bet, guys. What do you think?
Yeah.
I would love for them to move on to something else and then come back.
Yeah.
Like it seems like the Norse. Sorry?
They are doing something else. There's something else that's now.
Yeah, that's good. Like, I know that there was...
Corey's working on.
Yeah, I know there was talk of, like, maybe a God of War team. But, yeah, you're right, George. Like, obviously, Corey Barlog's working on something else, which is why... What's his name? Alex? I forgot. He's taken over the reins of God of War. I would like that. I think the strength of PlayStation...
Eric Williams.
What did I say? I think I said Eric was his name. I actually think the strength of Sony first party is actually, and its studios, let's say, is actually each studio is so flexible in the amount of IPs. Now, I know there are probably some studios which are quite rigid, but if you think of Naughty Dog, if you think, and the great IPs they have, if you think of Insomniac, Sucker Punch. So I kind of don't want Santa Monica to be just the God of War studio. I really want them to develop and flesh out other properties like that sci-fi project or whatever they're doing next and just make us want God of War more later. Like, I'm assuming with the name Ragnarok, I haven't obviously finished it, but I'm assuming the Norse story's wrapped up.
Mm. Maybe they said before this one that it was only going to be two.
Yeah, and if you remember, like, God of War 1 at the end, there was the Greek symbol, there was a Norse symbol, there was the Egyptian symbol. Like, I feel like they could go to Egypt. There's a wild amount of lore there. But anyway, that's just something else. But, yeah, I don't know, the strength in that. Like, I don't – if you look at Microsoft, right, like, yeah, like what? If they've got the Coalition. All they make is Gears. You've got 343. All they make is Halo. You know, there's no variety. Like, each studio is just this churning machine of the IP, and in all honesty, they do a pretty bad job of those IPs as well. So, like, you know, maybe Turn 10 or like Forza are good, but yeah, like, I just think that their strength is the variety of
IPs. You guys have played as Atreus in the game. Would you be open to an Atreus video game?
I actually had a lot of fun playing as Atreus. Like, I actually, like, there was a point where I'm like, man, I actually would prefer to stay as him for a bit longer and play as him for a while. But I got to see how this story ends up. I think the strength of God of War is in Kratos. Like, you don't get a game like that. You haven't had a game like that in a long time where you have a seminal, like the character is as seminal as the IP and the game. Like, Kratos is God of War. Metal Gear Solid is Snake. Like, Uncharted is Nathan Drake. You know what I mean?
You can't have one without the other.
Yeah, like, you obviously probably
agree.
Can.
I agree. That's why I'm against an Atreus game. I hope they don't do it.
Yeah, but I then think, I don't
want an Atreus game.
But then how do they iterate on? Like, I feel like the growth I've already seen in Kratos in these 8 hours, like, I think of the time in God of War when Kratos, when Atreus killed the deer in that opening scene of God of War, and, like, Kratos is going to try pat Atreus on the back, but he couldn't do it. And then, like, within a couple hours in, he pats Atreus on the back in this game, and it's like, there's that clear character development. He's a lot more softer and he's more nurturing. And I'm like, okay, well, how do they... Because the strength of God of War, I think, is the growth, the character of Kratos and his growth into becoming a father, into becoming a warrior, into becoming, a dependable, loving dad. And
you think
also,
they've gone
obviously,
too far in this game?
No, he's not gone too far. I just think, well, this is great. Like, I think definitely not too far. I think what they've done in Ragnarok so far has been great. Like, I love, we're seeing the fruits of that growth.
You're not saying they've dug themselves into a hole.
No. I think it's been natural. The fruits of the growth you're seeing in God of War 18, you can see now. But I'm like, okay, where do they go from here? And I don't know the rest of the story, so maybe I'll have a completely different opinion after the game's done. But can they keep growing Kratos? Like, that was the strength of God of War, is Kratos. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, is there going to be another game in Egypt, let's say? What are they going to do with Kratos? Like, everything's sort of probably been fleshed out with his past, with Atreus, with his wife. Like, you know, I don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So you're loving the game.
I'm bloody loving it, mate.
Yeah. So you are normal. Okay. Mm. Did you hear, guys, about James Gunn with the DC games? Did you hear this story?
Yeah. I did hear this. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I watched Black Adam.
What'd you think?
Movie of the year with Top Gun.
No, you can't, Dan. No. No, you can't say that.
It wasn't. It wasn't. But, the first 20 minutes, it was really bad. And then,
oh, my gosh.
Do you agree? And then it sort of, it won me back in the last 30 minutes. There was a few things there that were entertaining. I'd probably give the movie a 5 or 6 out of 10.
Yeah, a 5 or 6. And have you seen it, Jules?
No.
Okay.
He doesn't seem like he's that keen either.
Do you care about spoilers?
No, I know the end credit scene.
Everyone knew the end credits before the movie was out. That's the problem.
The movie came out. The Rock was there on Instagram going like, "Mahalo, I feel my mana. Superman is in this."
Dan, like, any movie where it's like the opening first 5 minutes is some narrated.
Oh, man.
It's so lazy.
It goes one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
It really does.
And I don't know, the whole like gem. What is that stupid gem? Like,
MacGuffin.
No, was it
called a MacGuffin?
The MacGuffin trope.
The crown,
yeah, obviously.
The crown
Yeah. And I don't know. They were trying to make, obviously, The Rock, you can't make him a fully fledged villain. So they tried to make him some sort of anti hero.
But he was a hero.
Yeah, then he was a hero and they couldn't commit. So why are Black Adam and Shazam going to fight? Or in this case, Superman? Like, I don't, and don't get, like, they're clearly going for Superman as opposed to Shazam, which for me is like the stupidest thing, but I understand why they're doing it for they want Henry Cavill versus Dwayne Johnson. Like,
that's all it
no
is,
one
man.
Wants to fight Zachary Levi.
It
but
so well when they did Henry Cavill versus Batfleck.
I know, right? But man, that movie was pretty bad. I love The Rock. He was great. And I mean, I love Dr. Fate so much, and Pierce Brosnan was.
Do you think
awesome,
they destroyed him?
They killed him.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was so depressing. Like,
too soon. Look, I thought it was way
too soon. Because they haven't introduced
him.
Yeah, and they haven't introduced any other users of the doc, like the Fate Helmet. Like, all I know really is Zatanna maybe, but they haven't introduced any of them. So I'm like, okay, Dr. Fate was just there and gone, and Hawkman. Yeah,
anyway,
I don't know.
Anyway, the DC games, he said they're going to be. What did he say, Jordan? They're going to connect the movies with the games.
It's not that they're going to connect. It's just that they are going to be a part of the DC universe. So it's not that like the movie will connect to the game. It's just that it's all going to be existing in one thing, one umbrella. What I think this really means is that this will ultimately, they'll do this and they'll have their different branches going forward. This will lead to this is my opinion, by the way.
Yeah.
This will be like the case for maybe 5 years where everything, it's not that everything will be connected because that's not the idea of it, but just that, you know, they're all going to exist together in the same universe. It might even be the same universe, but maybe a different multiverse, if that makes sense. My prediction for this would be that in 5 years' time, this leads to a Crisis on Infinite Earths movie, and we have like the animated characters popping up for a little bit. We have some video game characters popping up for a bit. We might have Grant Gustin and Stephen Amell come back and pop up for a bit. Michael Keaton will be there. You know, they'll do all that. And then that would be like the definitive reboot of like, this is where we're starting from now. That is my opinion of where this is going to go. I know that maybe this was supposed to happen with Flashpoint, whatever is happening with that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really care. This is just like okay, no problem. I barely watch DC movies anyway. Like I haven't seen Batman, haven't seen Black Adam, not really planning on seeing Black Adam as much as I love The Rock. I'm like, I'm not going out of my way to see that. We're pretty much just spoiled for choice with this stuff. And I really don't think they all need to connect. And I don't think they're going to. There's no need for it. It's too hard to make work.
Wouldn't it be cool if, and this would never happen, but that Wonder Woman game that Warner Brothers are doing, the Shadow of Mordor guys, wouldn't it be cool if it was Gal Gadot? No, they've never done that. They've never done that for any game or franchise from what I know. Have they ever done that?
Like maybe movie tie-ins where characters have played them.
Yeah, but they've been movie titles.
No, but an actual good game. You know what I mean? Like a AAA, not a movie title.
Spider-Man 2.
Who was he? Was it Andrew Garfield?
I don't know. I'm more asking the question. I'm not sure.
Oh, man. So, by the way, all this news has come off a tweet. So, basically, there was someone who tweeted at James Gunn saying, are there going to be plans for games to be connected to the DCU as well? And James Gunn replied with a straight up yes, with a full stop, yes. So whether that means Suicide Squad, Kills of Justice League, Wonder Woman, I don't know. But yeah, I just got off Jordan's seat. Like DC, I know this is a games podcast, but DC has the perfect reset button. They have Flashpoint. Just as soon as they want to reset everything, like we screwed this up, just smack that Flashpoint button, get that movie out and reset everything. Because they can use that unlimited times technically, but they just need to, man, because I don't know. I feel like Zack Snyder has ruined DC, especially the movie universe, and they just need to reset everything. But
Zack Snyder's a genius, isn't he, Jordan?
I really liked the Snyder cut of Justice League.
Can you name a bad Zack Snyder film? I can't name
Batman vs Superman, Man of Steel.
No, they're great. Yeah.
But Justice League, the Snyder Cut, I really enjoyed. Like, it might be, of all those movies, it's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Actually, Army of Dead wasn't great. There you go.
Army of Dead was all right. It was better than Bloody. Fine.
It was a good blockbuster.
Better than Batman vs. Superman.
I think
Superman.
BVS was better than Army of Dead. Sorry.
But they're all none of them are above a five. That's the sad
thing. I actually watched Suicide Squad before I watched BVS.
What about Watchmen? That was an 8 or 9 out of 10.
Yeah, 300, Watchmen, they're great, but I'm saying the DCU ones. But yeah, I don't know. I've always
Army of Dead Las Vegas.
Something going on.
TV series by Zack Snyder, Army of Dead Las Vegas. Oh no.
Yeah.
Sorry, I want to know if that zombie got a baby.
Yeah, there's something going on at DC though, because Snyder's gone and they still can't make a good movie. So I don't think it's all him.
Well, they've got new management now, so hopefully things turn around.
Yeah. Oh, they need to, man. I just want the magic of Justice League Unlimited on live. That's all I want, live action.
Even Gotham Knights sort of flopped.
What sort of flopped?
Gotham Knights.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Oh, wow.
You guys did predict it, I think, didn't you? I was the only one with a bit.
I think from the get go,
I was the only one with a glimmer of hope, and yeah,
nah.
I was let down.
Trash. And we all predicted the final boss fight, didn't we?
Oh man!
Spoilers.
Oh man!
It was Bruce Wayne.
I only have this much more hope, a bee's penis more of hope for Justice League kill the Suicide Squad or Suicide Squad kill the
it
Justice
is Rocksteady. They care. Are good. All right. All right.
Don't care.
I will say this is the proving ground for Rocksteady. Like, I know they perfected the Arkham formula, but this is a DC game still within their realm, but slightly outside the genre. They need to show that they're not just a one genre wonder, like a one franchise wonder.
8 years.
I don't know. They've had 8 years. Like, Dan, this is make or break, in my opinion, for Rocksteady.
It'll
like,
sell over 10 million. In its first month.
Yeah, it'll be a
9 out of 10.
Look at the title. It's got Suicide Squad and the Justice League in the title.
I actually think it will be.
It'll be in the game of the year running. And
I 100% agree. Yeah.
I would love to be wrong.
Now,
I actually agree with you, Dan.
We've got a couple of games coming out this week, guys. The first.
There's a big week this week.
Well, the first one is Need for Speed
Unbound.
Now, the only marketing I've seen on this game is the rogue social media guy. What did he do, Mike? Did you see it?
I didn't actually see this one. But
he bounced back at a fan who said something about EA, and the official Need for Speed account responded with like you've got a cloud brain or something. And then they later apologized. They said, "Oh, this isn't the way to go." And to be honest, it was a good marketing strategy, sort of, because I wasn't thinking about the game until that happened. I forgot it was even out. There's nothing.
Do you want to know?
I think this could be the biggest flop for this series has ever seen. It's not looking good.
I will say, what will make it even harder to sell well, Dan, is it's next gen only, or current gen only, I should say. It's only coming out on PS5, and Series S and X and PC. So
I'm surprised.
There will be crossplay. But there is no nighttime multiplayer free roam, apparently. So that was a big part of why I loved.
What, so it's daytime, Need for Speed Heat. Or it's not in it at all?
I think it's just online free roam will be set to daytime only. So I don't know. I don't know. There better be a day-night system, because that was one of the best parts of Need for Speed Heat. And they need to bloody work on that single player, because it's been subpar since the original Most Wanted, so... Who knows? Who knows, Dan? I'm a big fan of Need for Speed, as you know. Long-time fan. Played pretty much most of them. And I loved Need for Speed Heat. It was one of my favorite games on the PS4. So don't let me down. But
what does this gameplay do for you? Did you see the gameplay with all the... What do you call this cartoon style that they've got?
I don't know what it's not cel shaded, but it's just this like it's this very Scott Pilgrim type. Like,
I just don't think it fits into Need for Speed. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but it just feels a bit out of place. It feels a bit like you're trying too hard to be different.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're trying to be different, forging some unique identity. But I think the identity is that it's a seminal arcade racer. Like most racing games now are quite more to the simulation. Think of Dirt, Grid, F1. So it's already got the point of difference of being some arcade accessible racer. I don't know why they need to, do more. Just lean into their strengths. But
I'll give it a go eventually, but not this week, because. There's another game that I'm looking forward to, and I have been all year. It's called the Callisto Protocol, and it is out this week. Now, my only concern is the reviews drop on release day, and a lot of people I know do not have review copies. A little bit of a concern, slight concern, just because, it's games like God of War Ragnarok, they're so confident they'll give it out weeks in advance. And for this one, I don't know. Is that a cause for concern, do you think, guys, or reading into it too much?
It can be, but it shouldn't be immediate alarm bells. because with like studios like Bethesda, they do this where they don't send out things like they don't send out copies early anymore.
Yeah.
So not immediate cause for concern, but
no,
it's definitely worth looking at on review day. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys
going
to try it out or what?
Stole Game of the Year. Can you imagine
Is it
that?
Glenn Schofield?
Yeah.
He's doing Callisto. Yeah. I know that he did mention that they're crunching. So maybe, yeah, they couldn't send it out in time, review copies, whatever. But yeah, I think you're right, Dan. It is, I think it is a cause for concern. Like the pattern and it's too clear. Like it's way too clear. Like we've seen it every time. They release a game early, it tends to be really good. They release the review copies late, it tends to be subpar. Like it's a law at this
that
stage.
Way usually. Yeah, on average.
Yeah, it skews. Yeah, very highly skews.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see.
Are you guys excited at all for this one, like me, or
I want to get to this. I hope we do our Game of the Year episode in January sometime so that we have some time to catch up on games we might have missed, especially these ones in the last few weeks, because there's
definitely
because
I want to play
the
Plague
other game
Tale.
That comes out this week is Marvel's Midnight Suns, which I think is worth putting in
is
the
is that this
as
week
well.
Too
yeah and then there's Jeepers. There's another game that comes out towards the end of the month as well that could be in the conversation too, so
what's that game?
I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
I'll have a look for you now.
Vike, are you excited for this at all?
Callisto, if it gets like 10s, yeah. I've been itching to get into that horror genre, edge of your seat style genre. So I think, and I'll have shooters. So I think this is a perfect game for me to dive into this. And yeah, so excited for that. What was the other game you mentioned, Jules? So Midnight Suns. You know what? If the story's good, I'll just watch the cutscenes on YouTube. But the game, I'm not too excited about. But I hope it does well. Like, I like this sort of innovation where it's like a different genre, and yeah, like you're not just getting every Marvel game has to be some sort of action third person. Yeah. So I really hope they do well. Like XCOM guys, they're not. They've obviously got a pretty good track record, so.
Yeah. Beautiful. And then also Witcher 3 next gen update is happening in a week or so, I believe.
Wow.
And it's free if you own a free upgrade if you already own the PS4 version. It's coming out on my birthday, 14th of December.
Boom, there you go.
Yeah. It's going to have graphical options, DualSense, full DualSense support. Will there be is there a bow in The Witcher, Jordan?
Yeah. No. You sure? You bet there. You bet your bottom dollar there is.
New camera, controls, photo mode, and much more. And they're really trying to save face, guys. Free upgrade. They could
remember
have.
They did like this, that. Is what like CD Projekt Red alike. Let's not forget that when The Witcher 3 came out, it came with like a thank you letter for supporting the game and everything.
Mm.
So Cyberpunk really is a blip on their record, and it is just that. I think it's an outlier. I think it'll remain as an outlier. And
yeah, it will be because they're not going to do that again. That's for
there's
sure.
There's no chance.
No.
I will. Let me read out because Jordan, I want to know what game you're talking about in December. So I'll tell you a couple. So. Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, Chapter 2 is coming in on VR. I didn't see what was that. The Resident Evil Village. Oh, no, that's Switch. Callisto, obviously. Hello, Neighbor 2. Chained Echoes.
Mm-mm.
Wave Tale.
Mm-mm.
Crisis Core, obviously the Final Fantasy.
That's the one.
The Reunion. Yeah. Okay, I thought it was that, but I was going to read it in order. High on Life. Oh, no, that's Xbox only. And then you've got Witcher 3 and you've got Blacktail. So, and then Valkyrie Profile Lenith. So,
Witcher 3, they've got a new gameplay camera option, which is a bit more close like God of War. I like that. Because you know how it's a bit wide?
Yeah.
They've moved it in a bit. So, new swords, armor, and items as well. Okay.
It went through my head to try and give this another go. And then I was like, I can't do it. I gave it two goes and I can't do it again.
Kyle will be rolling in his. I mean, he's not dead, so he'll just be rolling
in his grave.
He'll just be rolling.
How is Kyle? What's he been playing? Does anyone know?
He's on the God of War. I'm pretty sure He's on the God of War. Yeah.
No
good. Last time I checked, he was playing Hitman, and he couldn't get past the first level because he's so shit. But I made that up. Is he God of War? Let's have a look at his trophies.
Yeah, I think
he is.
Yeah,
he's okay. He's made some progress. There you go. Keep an eye on
him. He has no idea. We just talk about him. I love it. We'll see if he listens.
Anything else, guys, before we head off this week? Anything else you want to cover or discuss?
Been a bit of a slow news week, I guess, eh? Not much on the horizon. Yeah.
I'm hoping that I can pay a bit more attention to this stuff now. Now that reports are done, we're winding down for the year.
Yeah. We might do Game of the Year next week, Game Awards. We might do a few predictions there.
Yep. Yeah. We won't do all of them because it's like esports stuff that we have no idea about, but we'll do the ones we feel like we've got a maybe we decide on that during the week and then we can have our predictions ready to go before.
Yeah, we're probably not going to do best mobile game.
Marvel Snap will win that though.
Why is that going to win that? Everyone loves that game.
Taking the world by storm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. But
and it's free. Like, it's completely free.
So is Warzone 2.
Oh, Warzone 2. Been enjoying it. Not loving it, but been enjoying it.
We'll talk about that next week. All right, guys.
I don't know whether anything will recapture the magic of Verdansk during lockdown. There was something about it.
It was something special, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a topic for another day.
It's been a pleasure to serve you all, guys. Have a great week.
And we will see you
later.